Good morning. Welcome to Redeemer Community Church. My name is Daniel Mollenkopf, and I'm a pastor at a local church in the area. Seriously, if you're visiting, thank you for visiting with us. I am one of the pastors here. I had a back and then a sciatic nerve issue that I couldn't do very much standing for the last few weeks, so I have not been even present, and it is really good to be here and to see your faces. And I'm looking forward to this morning. I hope you are as well, as we're gathered to worship our great God and Savior, to look at His Word, to see how we can honor Him in our lives. A few announcements this morning. We really still need a few more volunteers for the van, driving the sound equipment here to the Omni and then driving it back. Right now we've got some men with very young children who are doing this two or three times a month, and if you would volunteer even for once a month, I know that would be hard if you have young children, but it would help someone else with young children to not be doing it quite so often. And so I would encourage you, if you could volunteer once a month or once every 2 months, that would be a huge help to that team. We've got a couple elders who are volunteering to do that as well, just to try to help out. So I would encourage you, if you can, please help with that. We also need help setting up the sound equipment once we get here. And if you could do that once every month to 2 months, again, that would be a big help. Right now we have Sunday school at 9, which means that team shows up at 8 in the morning. And I have young kids, so I know that it's hard on a Sunday morning to show up here at 8 o'clock. But again, if you could commit to doing that once every month to 2 months, that would just make a huge difference for the people who are right now doing it 2 to 3 times a month. So if you're able to do that, please volunteer. Also, if you want to help with music, talk to Luke about that. The Broadway Bible Club is not this week, but the next week. Yes, okay, good. I'm speaking, so I'm glad I got those dates right. And that's just it's kind of like a VBS, Vacation Bible School. We're teaching kids at the Broadway Place Apartments about wisdom is the topic of the week. So please be praying for the kids. Pray for us as we're seeking to teach them and to have a great time with them. We're having a membership class, hopefully late July or early August, and I don't have a date because I always just say, if you're interested in that class, talk to me, and we try to pick a date that works for the most people. If you're not sure why we even have membership, then you know that class would be a great thing to come to. It doesn't commit you to membership. It tells you why we believe membership is important, why we believe, to put it simply, that the commands in Scripture of how we love one another and care for one another are a really deep commitment. And when you join the church, you're basically saying, I'm committing to do what God calls me to do with the church. And the church is saying to you, we commit to you to do what God calls us as a church to do in loving you. The elders are meeting this Thursday. You can see the details. The Smiths are coming back. It seems like it's just about a month away now. So if you would like to sign up for any of those things they need, please do that. All right, our call to worship this morning is a great reminder that there's true forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. It's from 1 John, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray together. God, our Father, it is good to gather together with your people. It is great to be able to worship with freedom. It is great to be able to look at what your word teaches us, to apply it to our hearts. Father, we praise you for Jesus Christ, that he did die as a propitiation for our sins, that we might be forgiven, that our sins would be covered, to be looked at no more. That you look at us and you have put our sins as far away from us as the east is from the west, for everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we praise you that Christ will one day return in glory and demonstrate that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And until that day, Lord, may we be faithful. Help us to proclaim your truth with boldness. Give us hearts that care about the lost people around us. Lord, may we be faithful to live lives that honor and glorify your name. Lord, bless this service this morning. that as we sing, we would sing truth, and in our hearts and our minds and our souls, we would truly worship you for the great God that you are. I pray for this reading of Scripture and for the Lord's table, that these would be great times of enjoying your greatness. We ask all these things in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and praise our God. Holy, holy, holy.
The pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I love the nation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when storm and trouble meeting, and to take as from a Father's hand, one by one, the day, the moment's fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
The perfect wisdom of our God.
Revealed in all the universe, all things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas, the secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. The matchless wisdom of his ways that mark the path of righteousness. His word a lamp unto my feet, his spirit teaching and guiding me. And oh, the mystery of the cross, that God should suffer for the lost, so that the fool might shame the wise, and all the glory might go to Christ. Oh, grant me wisdom from above, to pray for peace and cling to love, and teach me humbly to receive the sun and rain on your sovereignty. Each strand of sorrow has a place within this tapestry of grace. So through the trials I'll choose to say your perfect will in your perfect way.
Amen. You may be seated. Dave's going to come forward with the scripture reading.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Followed all the directions. Chapter 6 in Deuteronomy comes right after Moses received the Ten Commandments from the Lord and instructed the nation. And this chapter 6 summarizes those, so follow along as I read. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all the commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is truly a blessing to us as we can stand here today to see that the God of the nation of Israel is still the God of his chosen people. It is the same God that we worship. It is the same God that was faithful to the nation, that is faithful to us. Lord, we live under the same statutes and the same exhortations that he gave to the people. We see, Lord, that even the Lord Jesus repeated this commandment to remember to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. Lord, it is the same faithful God that led the nation out of bondage in Egypt that leads us out of bondage in sin to exalt you and to live in righteousness. I ask, Lord, that you would make that a reality in each one of our lives. Teach us, Lord, to be obedient to your revealed word. Teach us to be thankful at all times for the deliverance from the sin that that is so easily overcomes us, and to be thankful for the abundance that we have and that we enjoy. Lord, I ask that you would be faithful to us to cause us to teach our children and our grandchildren, and that we can be examples before them as even the nation was exhorted. And Lord, I pray that above all, as we live in this land of plenty with opportunities abounding, Lord, that we do not forget that the Lord is our God, and it is from him that we have the strength and the power to do everything, and it is from him that we have been delivered from bondage unto sin, even as the nation was delivered from Egypt. I pray in his name, amen.
stand again and sing "You Alone Can Rescue."
Spirit three in one, beloved forevermore. We'll
shall sing your praise forevermore.
Amen. Mighty, mighty Savior. Children, kindergarten, and younger are dismissed. Please sign them in if you haven't already.
John MacArthur once quipped that if he had known how great it was to have grandchildren, he would have skipped having children. I'm sure there are some children who might also skip having parents just to have grandparents. Raising children is a challenge for parents. Being a child under authority is a challenge for children. And yet, a godly home should be a place of great joy. And this morning, we're going to look at a home where Christ is Lord. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians 3, we'll be looking especially at verses 20 and 21 this morning, but we're going to read the whole section, the whole paragraph beginning in verse 18. If you're looking for it in the New Testament, you have the Gospels and Acts and Romans, and then the Corinthian letters and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 18 through 25. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your servants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray together. God, our Father, what a joy it is to gather together, to look at your word. I ask that you would help me as I teach, to teach what is right and true, what is consistent with your word, what is consistent with your will. Lord, I ask that you would open hearts, that we would want to hear your truth, that we would want to obey it, that we would want to live these things out in our lives. I pray for our children, especially this morning, that you would help them to be attentive to the message to them. And I pray for parents that they would especially hear the things that you call them to. Lord, we want to be faithful and we want to honor you. And so help us in this way to honor you. Lord, help us this morning to focus on your truth and your glory as you've revealed it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a few weeks now when we last looked at Paul's instruction to husbands and wives. And we saw how the Roman household gets reordered with Christ as the head. In the traditional Roman household, the man is at the top. And in the Christian home, while the man has a place of authority, his authority is submitted to Jesus Christ. It's ordered under Jesus Christ. And so now, instead of the man being the Lord of the home, Jesus is the Lord of the home. And the instructions to wives to submit to their husbands fit under this mold that Jesus is Lord. And wives are to willingly set themselves under the authority of their husbands. Husbands love their wives and sacrifice for them in order to please Christ. And in the same way, as Paul transitions to parents and children, these relationships likewise are transformed by this reorientation of Christ as Lord. Christ is Lord of the household. So if you're a child, you will really want to listen to this whole sermon because you'll want to know what God expects of you, and you also want to know what God expects of your parents. And parents, you should listen to this message because you want to know what God expects of you, and it's your joyful duty to train your children to do what God calls them to do. We're just going to have two main points today. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children. So first main point, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in everything. And that's not actually my opinion. That's just exactly what the text says. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, 2 weeks ago, Marshall taught, maybe it's 3 weeks ago now, about honoring your father and mother, which is a different but connected command. In both the Old and New Testaments, this instruction to honor parents is treated in an ageless way. That is, regardless of your age or life situation, you're to honor your parents. That will look different in different families, but the underlying principle remains the same. In our text today, the word for children can refer to anyone who has a parent. That's obviously all of us. But the context of today's passage is the household codes. And in this context of the household codes, it's most likely referring to children who live in the household. And usually that would refer to children who we would think of from infants all the way up through high school, maybe college if your parents are paying for college, children who are not of marrying age, children who are being provided for by their parents, living with their parents. Because when you marry, you're called to leave father and mother and form a new home, a new family, a new authority structure. So if you live in your parents' home, and particularly if you're of school age, and your parents are providing for you, this instruction to obey your parents is specifically for you. And if you're out of the home or are married or perhaps maybe even live with your aging parents in order to provide and care for them, your duty is still to honor your parents, even in cases where obedience is no longer the appropriate application. So just to simplify, if you're not sure, is this passage for me? This command to obey your parents is true for you if more than one of these things I say next is true of you. If you live in your parents' home, if your parents pay for most of your food, if you get an allowance, if you get around in a car that belongs to your parents, if you're in college and your parents are paying for college, I don't have to obey my parents because, biblically, actually, you probably do if those things are true of you. And I would encourage you, listen carefully to what God's word says. And again, even for the second half of the sermon, which is more addressed to your parents, it would be kind of nice to know what God expects of your parents, wouldn't it be? And in fact, I would say that's one of the things that's so amazing about what Paul says is the normal Roman household rules was the father does whatever he wants to get whatever he wants. And God actually has expectations for fathers. And I think you'll find it, children, I think you'll find it encouraging to see what God expects of your fathers. Now, the basic command here is very simple to understand and yet very difficult to accomplish. Here's the command. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obey your parents in everything. That's pretty simple when it comes down to it. But if you are like I was when I was a child, or if you're like pretty much every other child in the history of ever, it's actually kind of hard to accomplish. So we're going to talk about obedience from two different angles. We're going to talk about obeying instruction, and we're going to talk about responding to correction or discipline. So obeying instruction or responding to correction or discipline. Let's talk first about obeying instruction. And I know you may still be thinking at this point, do I really have to obey my parents? And God's word is fairly clear that yes, you do have to obey your parents. You have to do it. And I know there may be some children here who are wondering about what to do if you're in an abusive situation or if your parents do tell you to do something wrong. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's not the situation of most children here. And first, we just need to think about this command in the most basic way that God gave it to us. I thought it might be helpful if we think about why you have to obey your parents, so you know this isn't just something that's arbitrary and random. Of course, we could just say that you have to obey your parents because God said it, and therefore you have to do it. And that would be true, but it isn't necessarily helpful. I think there are a few reasons why obeying your parents is a extremely important part of your life. First, God has given you your parents to train you for life in our world. Your parents are your guides and your helpers. Your parents protect and care for you. From the moment you're born until you become an adult, your parents are training you for life in this world that God has made. Your parents have taught you a lot about how to function in the world, and they will keep teaching you in many ways your entire life. And you need to obey them because it is part of your job to let them teach you how to live. And children, this is really surprising to a lot of children, but for most of you, your parents were actually your age once. Most of you. And they've experienced a lot of the things that you're experiencing, and they can help you know how to respond to life in ways that honor God. Now, you may, if you were paying attention earlier in the service, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and God was telling his people to teach their children to follow God's law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And your parents have this responsibility to teach you what it means to love and obey God. And obeying your parents is one part of learning how to love and obey God. Second, it is really important to learn to obey appropriate authority. Did you know God calls everyone to obey someone? Children obey their parents. Workers obey their bosses. Citizens obey the government. And even if you could become the president of the United States, one of the most powerful people in the whole world, you still have to obey the Constitution. And so God has given us parents who have a responsibility to teach us how to appropriately obey appropriate authority, so that when you leave home, you will know how to obey appropriate authority, and you'll know how to act when you're the one who's in authority. Third, I'd like to come back to the very reason we see in our text, obeying your parents pleases the Lord. God commands children to obey parents. And God is pleased when we do, in fact, obey him. God hates sin, and disobeying your parents when you should obey is sin. So when you disobey your parents, you're in fact disobeying God himself. Jesus never disobeyed his parents. He never dishonored his parents. He always did in every moment what was good and right and perfect. And even in the case where Mary and Joseph couldn't find Jesus and he was in the temple, he was actually doing what he was supposed to be doing. His parents just didn't realize it. He had to remind them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" That argument probably won't work for you, by the way. Just give you a heads up. Jesus always obeyed and honored his parents in every way. And so obeying your parents is, in fact, being like Jesus. And when you fail, when you don't obey your parents, when you dishonor your parents, remember, Jesus died to pay for exactly that kind of sin. And Jesus is a perfect substitute for you because he obeyed in all the ways that you disobey. He was righteous in all the ways that you were unrighteous. Jesus paid the price for sin, even of disobeying your parents and every other sin that you might commit. And Jesus rose from the dead and he conquered death. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is a good king. And as a good king, he tells you to obey your parents. And if your good king says it is good to obey your parents, don't you think it would be good for you to listen and obey? So you should obey your parents because they're God's trainers for you. You should obey your parents because they're helping you learn to obey appropriate authority. You should obey your parents because it pleases the Lord. So if we understand we should obey our parents, what does true obedience look like? Well, obeying your parents means doing what your parents want with an attitude of wanting to obey. God doesn't just care about your actions. God cares about your heart. Now, you may have heard the story of the child who was asked to go and stand in the corner, which for some bizarre reason used to be a form of punishment. And the child said no. He stayed in his seat. And the parent again told the child to go and stand in the corner, and the child stayed in the seat. And finally, the parent said, "If you don't go and stand in the corner, there's going to be a more severe form of discipline." And so the child went and stood in the corner, and they looked at their parent and said, "I may be standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside." But did that child really obey his parent? No, of course not. I mean, technically he did the thing, but his words revealed his heart had no desire to obey. And he would be rightly disciplined for that disobedient attitude. So obeying is doing what your parents want and doing it right away and all the way. Not delaying to obey simply because you don't feel like doing it. Not quitting before the job is done. Basically, quickly doing what your parents desire. And that should be the normal pattern, children, of how you respond to your parents' instruction. And I know at times this can be really, really hard. Oftentimes, we don't want to do what our parents want us to do, but God calls us to obey our parents. Now, here's something for you to think about, especially if you find this instruction difficult. God gave you to your parents, and God gave your parents to you. Now, God could have given you any parents in the world, but he gave you your parents. And maybe you think that your friends have better parents than you. Their parents are cooler or whatever. But God didn't give you those parents that you think are so great. God gave you your parents. Your parents are the ones that he calls you to obey. Now, if you're a teenager, you're in the process of becoming an adult. And hopefully that means you have a little bit more freedom in your life. Hopefully that means you have a little more responsibility in your life. But often, along with this rising freedom and responsibility, this growing ability to think and act on your own, many teenagers begin to struggle with obeying their parents. And I would just encourage you that while there will be a day when you're not under your parents' authority, God calls you today to obey them. A writer from a past generation wrote, "Every generation imagines itself to be more intelligent than the one that went before it and wiser than the one that comes after it." I had a friend who once told me that when he turned 15, his parents got really dumb. And they remained really dumb until he was 23 or 24 or so, and then they got smart again. It is really common as a teenager to think that you know better than your parents. Your parents just don't get it. The world has changed. But your parents have actually been alive while the world has changed, and they know more than you think. They've got a lot of life experience that you don't have. You just have to remember that God gave them to you, and they're your parents, and God calls you to obey them. So children, obey your parents. I also wanted to talk about responding to correction or discipline. God calls children to obey, and God calls parents to discipline their children when they fail to obey. Proverbs 13:24, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So children, when you disobey, it is your parents' responsibility to correct and discipline you. When you do things that aren't necessarily morally wrong, but are unwise, it's your parents' job to train you. And when your parents train you, when they correct you, when your parents discipline you, you kind of have two choices. You can reject the instruction, or you can learn from it. And a wise child will learn from his parents' instruction. And I don't even mean that parents will always be right. We talked about this, kids, in Sunday school, Proverbs 9:9. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." Listen to your parents' instruction. Don't be angry at them for disciplining you and correcting you. You need to know that God is using that discipline and training and correction for your good. Now, you may have noticed that I didn't mention avoiding discipline as a reason to obey your parents. It certainly is nice to avoid discipline, but it isn't the reason we obey. We obey to please God. Now, I need to give two very important exceptions to this general command to obey your parents. First, if your parents tell you to sin, it is the right thing to do to disobey them. Now, I don't think that that will be a particularly common issue for the children in our church, but it could certainly happen. Sometimes parents teach their children to sin. And God's word is very clear that we always obey God rather than man. So if your parent tells you to sin, you tell them no. But as I say that, you better be confident that they're actually telling you to sin and it's not just something that you don't want to do. But I do know of parents who have told their children to lie to the other parent or to lie to an authority figure like the government or to lie to school teachers. I've heard of parents who have asked their children to help them steal things. If your parents tell you to sin, then you should disobey them. And the second time it would actually be right to disobey your parents is in a situation where you or someone you know is being abused by your parents and your parents tell you not to tell anyone. If you think someone is being abused, you go and tell an adult who is safe. You come talk to an elder or their wife at church. You talk to a principal or teacher or headmaster. You might call the police if you have to. Someone who is an abuser never wants you to tell anyone else that they are abusing. And I want to mention these exceptions because people who ask you to sin always want you to keep it hidden. It's important to know that even a very general principle like obeying your parents does in fact have exceptions. But I would say probably for the vast majority of cases, you are to obey your parents. Those are very rare exceptions, but they are real exceptions. All right, second main point, fathers, do not provoke your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Verse 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And I already quoted from Ephesians 6 that has similar language. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, fathers were the absolute leaders of the home in the Greco-Roman world, and as such, Paul speaks specifically to fathers here. Additionally, it may be a general truth that fathers are more likely to provoke their children than mothers. I wouldn't make any kind of absolute statement about that, but perhaps it is generally true that mothers are more understanding and thoughtful. Nevertheless, mothers should certainly apply this to themselves as well. No parent should provoke their children. Provoking is the idea of challenging someone to counter you. So provoking your child is irritating them, prodding them, needling them to become angry. And if you provoke your child, you're essentially prompting them to become rebellious. So while it would be wrong to say that every rebellious child was provoked to that, as parents, we should also acknowledge that we are capable of provoking our children, and we have to be careful, according to God's word, not to provoke them. Now, there's no exhaustive biblical list of what it looks like to provoke your children. If you're like me, you're just kind of making up the list as you go. But I've put together some different categories of things that tend to provoke children based on my own experience, based on the commentaries I looked at. And I just want to remind our parents here today that just as it is God's command to children to obey, it is God's command to you not to provoke your children. And you'll probably find in general that your children do a better job of obeying when you do a good job of not provoking. Before we begin kind of a list of things, I just want to note perhaps the most important thing is to remember that your children are real people. They're humans, made in the image of God. And you should treat them with the dignity and respect that is appropriate for an image bearer of God. So just as an example, acknowledging the authority difference, treat your children the way that you would like to be treated. If I walked up to you after the service and just said to you, "We need to go right now," you would probably look at me like I was crazy. And yet parents often do that very thing to their children. We walk up to them, "We're leaving now, let's go." And it doesn't matter what they were in the middle of or what they were doing. If I want another adult to do something with me, I ask them if they're willing. I confirm the time. I maybe even remind them about the time. And again, acknowledging you have authority over your children and that there are appropriate levels of discussion. Maybe treating them like a human made in the image of God would mean you should give them that general same kind of respect you would an adult. And in fact, discuss your plans and warn them that it's almost time to leave, rather than just making sudden demands. So as this big overarching principle, remember, your children are made in the image of God, and you have a responsibility from God not to provoke them, but to treat them with dignity and respect. So here are some common ways that parents might provoke their children. Some of these may be really personal to you. Others might not. This list is mostly intended to kind of spur you to think about how you might be provoking your own children. Number one, having no discipline for your children is a terrible thing. Now, some people hear the word discipline of children, they immediately recoil at the thought, but you actually have a biblical responsibility to discipline your children. In Proverbs 22:15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Discipline is very important. And if you refuse to discipline your child, you aren't doing your job as a parent. Failing to discipline is setting up your child for a very difficult life. Because a person with no discipline cannot function in our world. On the other hand, excessive discipline or harsh discipline also provokes children. Discipline is a good thing done rightly, but many parents treat every offense as an opportunity to tear their children down. Discipline is over the top. It isn't consistent with the offense. Parents may be harsh, yelling at their children, always raising their voice. Maybe a kind of perfectionism that your children can never do anything right. And a third issue with discipline specifically is inconsistent discipline. And I mean that in a couple of ways. Inconsistent because you don't always punish the same things, and inconsistent because you don't always punish the same way. Now, sometimes parents are totally inconsistent in what offense receives discipline. So one day playing with loud toys is punishable, and the next day it's fine. One day I get punished for throwing a temper tantrum, and the next day I get rewarded for it. And children have no idea what is really acceptable and what isn't. And this is an area sometimes where parents aren't communicating with each other, and so there isn't a consistent family standard. Or sometimes parents are really inconsistent about the severity of discipline. Today, disobedience gets laughed at. Tomorrow, I receive a severe spanking. The next day, I just get a slap on the wrist. Your child never knows when they do wrong if you'll go into a rage or simply blow it off. Consistent, careful, thoughtful, loving discipline is what God calls us to as parents. A different category of how you might provoke your children is just general harshness towards them. Insulting them, belittling them, always finding flaws with them, mocking them. In your mind, you were the perfect child, and you constantly let your children know how much they fail. Right, you hiked through snow uphill both ways, right? Or on the other hand, not caring about how your children are doing. You never praise them for success. You rarely tell them that you love them and are glad for what God is doing in their life. You don't notice that they're excelling in school. You don't really have time to hear about what they're learning and doing, their new friends. Different type of problem. Treating young children as if they are adults. Giving your children an unreasonable level of responsibility. I still remember the time that one of my children was folding clothes as like a five-year-old, and I got really upset at them because they weren't folding clothes very well. Five-year-olds don't fold clothes very well. It's just the reality. Maybe a five-year-old can help you in many ways. They should. There's things you can teach them. You can go shopping with them. They probably shouldn't be in charge of the grocery list, but they can probably pick up the sugar. Be careful on the candy aisle. Young children just need basic rules and boundaries. On the other hand, many parents treat their teenagers and young adults as if they still are young children. They get assigned no regular work in the home. They get no responsibility. They're granted no freedom. The parents overprotect them. You would think that some parents believe their job is to ensure that their children never grow up and leave the home. They never allow their children to make decisions of any consequence, and then they wonder why their children never choose to do anything. Parents still treating older children as if they're little children when they have in fact matured into young adults. At some point, you have to let your children begin making decisions of consequence for their lives. One final one, you can provoke your children if they are less important in your life than the other things in your life. If they're less important than the game on TV or the movie on TV. They're less important than the book you're reading. Less important than your hobbies. Less important than your smartphone. Less important than your work. If your children aren't your highest priority after your spouse, then you might be provoking them. And Paul warns here, if you provoke your children, they might lose heart. They can become embittered against you. They can lose their motivation. They become rebellious, maybe even reject the faith that you claim. How you live before your children really says a lot about how important Christ really is to you. It is so common, even in Christian homes, for there to be a separation and alienation between parents and children. And there are many reasons for that. Some due to sin of parents. Some due to sin of children. Some due to outside influences. But your job as a parent is to train your child in righteousness and love so that to the best of your ability, they will become a functional adult who is your friend when they leave the home. And if you are constantly provoking your child, you are going to cause problems. You are going to destroy your relationship with your children. Now, God's word could have said many things to parents here about parenting, but it just focuses on one common challenge for parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children. So fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. As parents, we need to acknowledge that we need help. And the church family is a great place to find that help. We don't always know what we're doing, but if you look around, there are a lot of people here with gray hair and white hair. And I think at this point, to my knowledge, every person over 50 in our church raised children. They parented children. And I'm sure they could tell you of many mistakes they made, and that's okay. They have a lot that they can teach us. Sometimes the mistakes are the most helpful things for other people. Ask a wise person for godly counsel. Talk to one of our elders. If you need help parenting, talk to someone. But even more fundamentally than that, parenting is a reminder of how much we need Jesus Christ. Right? We so desperately need forgiveness. For all the ways we fail to love and train our children well, for all the selfish reasons that we don't parent well, we so desperately need the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. We desperately need hearts that want to honor God, that want to do what's right, that aren't selfish. Every day we need Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord of the home. As parents, how we submit to the lordship of Jesus is by loving our children well and not provoking them. Being the leader in the home doesn't mean we lord it over our children. It means we love them. And when we fail, as we so often will, we bring it to Jesus. His death on the cross covered our sin for everyone who trusts in him. His resurrection has ensured our eternal life. And as we seek daily to bow the knee to Jesus, we demonstrate to our children what it looks like to follow and serve the King. And we demonstrate to our children what it means to repent and turn from sin. So parents, be an example to your children of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Loving, caring, forgiving, repenting, seeking forgiveness. May your love and your family be a picture of the love of Christ. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for family and the joy of family. We thank you for the children you have blessed this church with. We thank you for the parents you have blessed this church with. Lord, as parents, may we be faithful. Lord, help our children to learn to obey, not simply so that they do the things that we want, but because they want to honor you and to please you, and they want to glorify you in their lives, and that they would learn how to obey appropriate authority in their lives to function well in this world, that they would learn what it means to be an authority and to demonstrate that. Lord, as parents, help us to love our children, to be selfless, and for all of us, where we see sin in our lives, where we have failed, may we be quick to turn to Christ, quick to turn from sin, quick to remember what Christ has done for us, and to find joy in